This episode of Bright Hearth is brought to you by the Kings Ridge Elderberry, QP Goat Soap, Backwards Planning Financial, Private Family Banking, and by our supporters at patreon.com.
While we will keep it PG, this episode of Bright Hearth deals with questions of sex in the marriage bed, so we offer you this brief note up front as an advisory in case you don't want your little people to have the birds and the bees explained to them through this podcast this morning or whenever you're listening in. On with the show. How blessed am I in this discovering thee? To enter in these bonds is to be free. Then where my hand is set, my seal shall be. Full nakedness, all joys are due to thee. As souls unbodied, bodies unclothed must be. To taste whole joys, gems which you women use are like Atlantis's balls cast in men's views. That when a fool's eye lighteth on a gem, his earthly soul may covet theirs, not them. Like pictures or like books gay coverings made, for laymen are all women thus arrayed. Themselves are mystic books which only we, whom their imputed grace will dignify, must see revealed. Then since that I may know, as liberally as to a midwife's shoe, thyself, cast all, yea, this white linen hence, there is no penance due to innocence. To teach thee, I am naked first. Why then, what needst thou have more covering than a man? Excerpt from To His Mistress Going to Bed by John Donne. Drink water from your own cistern, flowing water from your own well. Should your springs be scattered abroad, streams of water in the streets? Let them be for yourself alone and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. A lovely deer, a graceful doe, let her breasts fill you at all times with delight. Be intoxicated always in her love. Why should you be intoxicated, my son, with a forbidden woman, and embrace the bosom of an adulteress? For a man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. Proverbs 5, 15 to 21.
Welcome back to Bright Hearth, everybody. Brian and Lexi are here tonight with another Q&A about apparently everyone's favorite topic.
Are you talking about Formula One racing?
What?
Formula One racing?
I don't even know what that is.
WWF wrestling? You said everyone's favorite topic.
No.
Oh, no, Nicolas Cage movies?
No, your favorite.
Yes, welcome back, everybody. Welcome. And hey, welcome to Alfred as well. He's here with us. You might hear some chirps. Alfred, how you doing, my guy? Good? Got his rope.
Wrapped up in a jump rope.
Got himself a jump rope. He's not quite at jump roping age yet at 5 months, but he is getting close. Are you not, my guy? He is. Okay. Well, first of all, thank you, everybody, for sharing and listening in and all of your wonderful feedback from the Hearth Songs EP that I released last Monday. It's been out for a week as this episode is being released.
Oh, okay. I was like, wow. It's been
I'm speaking in the future. Very. And it has been very encouraging. I've seen that you guys have been enjoying the songs and actually getting the references. Thank you to everybody who gets all the Tolkien and the Keats and the Lewis references. And we hope that it is enjoyable to you and that you enjoyed those words about marriage and family. And speaking of words about marriage, wow, John Donne. Lexi.
You censored it for us.
I didn't read the whole poem because I was going to.
You guys can go read it.
I was going to read the whole poem. It's to John Donne, who was a pastor, by the way. And this was about his wife. And
we think it was about his wife.
I really hope it was about
his wife. I'm assuming it was about his wife.
And it's very, wow, it is a love poem, but it is specifically about the marriage bed. So yeah, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do the full thing. So I just did an excerpt there for you guys of one of the tamer parts. But then I thought we'd follow it up and see that the biblical injunction is absolutely there to enjoy the marriage bed. And we're going to be talking a little bit about that today because we have a pretty straightforward question, actually. It's a pretty blunt question, but I think it's a common question. And it's simply, how can I get my wife to be more interested in sex? Now, to make this a little bit more applicable to the entire audience, because I know we have men and women who listen to this episode, I think it would be helpful if we actually talked about it from both sides. So, like, how can a husband help his wife become more interested in sex? Very common question. And also, along the way, we'll try to also speak to the question of how can a wife grow in her responsiveness and interest to her husband, like the corresponding yin and yang, the what's a good yin illustration. Yang, huh? I'm not a Buddhist, so you know, like the game when you've got the toy and the hole that the toy goes in the different like shapes.
Attraction, magnetic attraction.
Yeah, that might actually be a little too spicy of an illustration now that I think about it for this topic. So,
wait, yours or mine?
Mine. Magnetic attraction is totally fine. But I was thinking about that game with the different shaped holes, you know, blocks that you put in the hole.
Oh my gosh.
And now I'm realizing that I didn't mean it like that. Okay. All right. Anybody. Okay. Anyway, somebody help us. Somebody save us from this never ending introduction. Okay. It may be worth mentioning here. If you're not married, this may not be the episode for you. I'm just going to say it. Like, we don't want to stumble anybody. We're going to be talking bluntly about some of this stuff, and so it may not be for you. Just kind of know thyself. Anyway, let's talk through a few categories here that come to mind with a question like this. And like I said, we'll just address the husband and the wife. How can he help her become more interested in sex, and what can she do to grow in her responsiveness and interest in her husband? Where I'd like to start, if it's okay with you, babe, is in the area of communication, because I think this is a huge one. So let me just ask you, how can a husband in his communication and how he's talking to his wife and how he's approaching communication around sex in the marriage bed, how can he help her to grow in this area if he's dissatisfied with frequency or whatever it is that he's talking about?
Yeah, he should definitely talk to her about it, but he has to be cheerful about it and not be able to be, not be grumpy or demanding or
pouty.
Yeah. Pouty, I guess.
Poutiness is not sexually attractive.
No.
Generally speaking.
Yes. Being cheerful and funny about it will be helpful.
Yeah. I think it's sad. I think most couples, not most, but I know many couples probably almost don't talk about sex at all.
Yeah, maybe not. I don't know. I don't ask. None of my business.
Well, I know I've asked couples in counseling before, and like, what's your communication like around this? Like, okay, he's dissatisfied.
Oh, okay.
Have you told her that? And a lot of the time, or at least some of the time, it's like, well, not really. I think a lot of men end up resorting to like poutiness.
They probably don't want to offend her, I would assume.
Yeah. And so honestly, for a husband, one of the places to start is just to say it, like probably not at the dinner table, like probably not as she's passing the potatoes to the 3-year-old or whatever, but just say, hey, I would like to have more sex. How can we, what do you think?
Yeah.
Your thoughts.
Yeah.
And in a cheerful
and
kind and respectful way, not demanding.
Yeah. And I think it could be helpful if he already is thinking through things that might be helpful to her that he's willing to offer or say up front, just so she knows that he genuinely is trying to help make this more doable on a regular basis.
What are you laughing about? Because you said doable? Is that why you're laughing? Oh my goodness, she's losing it.
Okay.
We tried to record already, and then Alfred was too loud, so we had to like wait for his bedtime.
It's kind of late for me. So.
And now Lexi's... We're in the danger zone.
Not going to make any funny, no more punny jokes.
Yeah, and she's literally turned on the red light that's sitting over here, so I just keep thinking about the song Roxanne. But anyway, okay. So conversation is going to be really important here for a husband.
But do you see what I'm saying? So she knows, like, he's not just trying to take from me. He just wants from me. It's like, no, he's trying to help you. He's trying to give you whatever it is you need to see your marriage flourish. Does that make sense?
Yeah, as long as he's not doing it in a bargaining way.
No, of like, no,
I'll
no.
give you 3 dishes a week if you will give me... yeah, absolutely. I see exactly what you're saying. Where he's... I think what can tend to happen is that the husband can tend to think that, well, my wife is not interested in me. She doesn't like me. She's not attracted to me. And she can tend to think... These are both ditches, and she can tend to think, this is just another thing that someone wants from me. But the whole thing is demoralizing to the husband if, for her, sex is something that he just wants from me. He wants her to be interested in it. Like, that's the whole thing for him, is that he's won her, she's interested in him, she's attracted to him. Like, that's the thing, not just a good husband is obviously not just treating his wife like an object for sexual release. He wants his wife to want him. So for the wife, if the husband has the sense, or, you know, whether true or false, that his wife is not interested in sex, it would be similar to a wife who thinks that, for whether true or false, that her husband has no interest in talking to her or communicating with her.
Yeah.
Do you desire to be shrewd financially for your family? It takes wisdom and dedication to build and pass on personal wealth, as mature, responsible leaders must.
Joe Garrisey with Backwards Planning Financial is at your side to integrate investments, debt, insurance, tax strategies, and legacy planning in a holistic approach.
He coaches his clients to act wisely with the resources God expects us to turn a profit on, to love our children and grandchildren well.
Tap on the link to his website in the description and contact him to get started.
Or visit him directly at backwardsplanningfinancial.com.
Discover the gentle touch of QP Goat Soap.
That's right, she said goat soap. Introducing QP Goat Soap, a Christian, homeschooling, family-owned business with a great story behind it. One that really captures the heart of what we're all about here on Bright Hearth. For Quinn Pittman's 9th birthday, he convinced his parents to get him a pair of Nigerian dwarf goats, known for their sweet and creamy milk. Quinn not only excelled at caring for his small flock, it's since grown. Now an enterprising 16-year-old, Quinn and his family makes high-quality soaps that will leave your skin feeling soft and silky smooth from the increase of his herd.
Head over to qpgoatsoap.com or tap on the link in the description of this episode to pick up a pack of his handcrafted soap today. Available in men's, women's, seasonal scents, and more, you'll love this family-owned business. And even better, use the code BRIGHT10 at checkout for a discount on your order. You can find that code in the description as well.
That's right. And that code is all lowercase, BRIGHT10, BRIGHT10 at checkout for a discount on your order. So getting those lines of communication, I think, is really important. One thing is just like, if you're not good at this, would be to establish some ways of talking about sex with each other, at least semi-often, having some conversations.
Yeah, I have counseled people that have had to put it on their calendar. I don't think you need to necessarily as a husband, if you just have it in the back of your mind, you know, to check in, but like go for a walk and talk about it. Don't make it be like, we're sitting in bed now and we got to talk about this.
Yeah. In fact, that's probably not the time to talk about it at all. It awkward and not helpful and demoralizing. So what are some other ways do you think maybe that couples could grow in their communication about the marriage bed? I think as well, one type of communication that can be particularly helpful is just to be flirtatious.
Oh, yes. I see where you're going with that. I wasn't thinking about it like that. Yeah. Be flirtatious. Be funny. Find him funny. I think this might be where it starts to step into other things that a wife should be doing is, like, it's okay after you have X amount of kids to actually still have a crush on your husband and like him. But you have to be thinking that way to then be able to be communicating that way, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Instead of just like being frustrated and keeping a record of wrongs and like walking around the house doing chores all day and thinking about the things he's not getting done or like, you know, just your little frustrations. Do you ever stop to think about the fact that you actually like your husband?
Yes.
So...
yeah. So important for a wife to be cultivating just a thought life. Like, I'm thinking about my husband sexually, and then I'm actually moving into action about it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm telling him that I'm into him in that way. For the husband, it's funny because usually when we think about like stereotypical male and female, we think like she talks a lot and he doesn't. But this is an area where he wants her to talk.
Yeah.
And she often doesn't. Or she's often reticent to talk or embarrassed or, but.
Well, I think some of it is just the natural male-female design.
Yeah.
That women should not be that forward about this.
Correct. Like, she's not designed to be, it's not a good thing for a woman, an unmarried woman, to be like sexually forward. It's not something that she's learned, that she should be learning in. So when you come into marriage, there's now this area where there's a walled garden and she should be And I wouldn't say, like, sexually forward's fine, I think, but I would say more sexually responsive is the way to think about it, where he is the initiative taking. He takes the initiative and cultivating a desire for her and pursuing her, but she's responsive. She's winnable,
yeah.
Right? Like, I use the word responsive in that sense of winnable,
mm-hmm.
where, like, yeah. when he has an advance, she's not putting up three layers of cavalry and, like, okay, I need to keep my face as blank as possible to make sure that he mm-hmm. he's not encouraged.
No
in
eye
this.
Contact.
Yeah, like, oh, I'm going to pretend like I don't know what he's interested in right now, and then maybe he will go away. Well, you don't want him to. That's like a husband giving you the silent treatment. When you're like, how was your day, honey? And he's like,
yeah.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Not good.
Mm-mm.
So I think for the husband as well, though, that it's good for him to initiate. Like, if you don't think your wife is sexually interested in you, or you're hoping for greater frequency or something like that, a husband needs to understand his wife and how his wife's sexuality actually works, which is different from how his sexuality works, where for most men, it takes roughly 1.5 seconds to become in a sexual mode. Thinking about, like, there are actions that your wife could take. I'm not going to be, I'm going to be PG in how I'm explaining this, but there are actions that your wife could take that you would be, like 99.3% of men would be instantly in a sexual mode. Your wife is just not the same. Like, you can't just say one thing or say, like, ooh, like one little comment or one flirty thing or one sexual advance and then expect her to be like, oh yeah, like it's on. She's not like that. She's more of a slow. If you've ever started a fire when you're camping, it's not you know that you can't just start the fire the way most kids want to, which is they, like, put a bunch of logs in there and then they light a match and they hold it up to the log and it's like, why is my fire not starting? Well, my young brother in Christ, you need to use tinder and kindling. You have to start with the small and build up the fire, and then you get a good bed of coals. Your wife is like that 99% of the time.
Yes, that is true. I also think women have to be willing to act interested before they're interested, though, because it does take some time sometimes. And that's where obeying in this comes into play. Like the proverb you were talking about at the beginning was reminding me about how there are actual people that because their spouse turns them down, they will actually go and actually commit adultery. We know people like this, that this has happened. So I think that should be a very stark warning to a wife to be responsive to her husband and to not turn him down.
Yeah, that even if for a wife, her natural mode is not 0 to 100 in 5 seconds,
mm-hmm.
that's not an excuse for her to never, to be the fire that can't be started.
Yeah. Or do you remember that, the Babylon Bee thing I sent you a while ago? It was like record-breaking massage. Husband takes 5 hours to get yeah. wife interested in sex.
Yes.
And I was laughing yes. so hard.
It's like, oh my goodness. Yes.
Don't be that person.
Don't be that person. It would be like if you had to beg your husband for 45 straight minutes to have a 5-minute conversation with you. It'd
yeah.
be like, you're not loving him.
No.
You're failing to love him. And so I think a big aspect of this, just from a husband's perspective, again, back to the main point, is like cultivating flirtation with your wife to where you're helping her get started through the day. So that you're not just waiting until, like, okay, you've gone through your whole work day, you haven't talked to her because you're working, you come home, there's dinner, there's bedtime, there's bath time, there's kids, there's everything getting ready for bed. And then all of a sudden, you're like, let's go. This is the prime time of day. All the kids are away, the doors lock. I made sure when I got the house that the door's locked. And so it's ready to go. And then he turns and she's like, not interested. Well, start the fire earlier.
Yeah.
Right? Like, get her, put a thought into her head. Like, hey, I've been thinking about how nice you looked in that dress last night. It doesn't have to be crazy, you know, wild. Start, you know, notice her, communicate with her, signal your interest to her. And if you're consistently, like husbands, if you're consistently running into a wall with your wife, then you need to be a masculine leader in your home and bring it up. Like, explicitly, I've noticed that this is my experience. I feel like you're cold towards me. You're not responsive to my advances. I'm interested in you. I'm into you. I desire you. And it seems like you are not interested in me. What's going on?
Yeah, the problem probably isn't first your sex life. That's probably secondary or a symptom of the actual issue, which is a grumpy wife.
Yeah, that's a great, I think that's a great point that you just made. The first, it's probably not just like everything else is going great, but you just, for some reason, randomly, your sex life is not going that well.
Yeah.
It's like, there's probably some other issue there to think about and to talk through again, like asking, what's the issue? Is she grumpy with you because there's something that she's got in her craw that she's been bugged by you? And of course, that's going to be a killer, you know, to any kind of sexual warmth. So yeah,
this is why I think it's important to keep short accounts and for a wife to learn how to communicate in a self-controlled way, not to like smother her emotions if she is frustrated or lonely, or I don't know, feels left out a lot because he has a busy life or something. I don't know. But to figure out how to communicate so that there can be short accounts, so that there can be like a joyful marriage bed.
Yeah, absolutely. So, like, that's the foundation of relationship in general.
Yeah.
Like peace and fellowship in the relationship.
Yeah. If you need that for like everyday fellowship with somebody that you just see at church on Sundays, how much more so do you need it with somebody that you're so intimately tied to?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great point. And if you're thinking about it in terms of fellowship, then I think that can be a helpful holistic approach, because then you're not like, men tend to think in terms of problems where, okay, I've identified this problem of our sex life. It's not frequent enough, whatever's not happening there. And so I'm going to focus on that thing, sex. And what he needs to do first is make sure that fellowship is happening, that they're in fellowship and at peace with one another, and that there's a whole foundation where, okay, am I showing her, like, am I being thoughtful in my relationship to her? Am I showing her that she has my attention and focus, or am I distracted by a million things until I'm interested in that? Am I being thoughtful proactively in how I communicate and gift giving? Like, again, I'm not saying a barter economy. I'm just saying cherishing my wife.
Yeah, cherishing it, yeah.
And trying to show her, basically, I think, if to summarize it, the goal for the husband is to say, with everything he does, with his words, his actions, his attitude, his bearing towards his wife, I cherish you, I desire you, I delight in you, and I want to please you. And I want you to be pleased with me. And for the wife, her goal is, with her words and actions and attitudes and bearing towards her husband, to demonstrate and signal to him in what she says and what she does, I want to be your sole source of sexual satisfaction. I desire you. I delight in you. I want to please you. And so come and enjoy what is yours. And when they're both mutually giving in that way, it's hard for it to go wrong.
Yeah.
Even when there are blips or when there's things that you have to work through, it's really hard for usually there's something wrong in one of those two places where he's thinking selfishly and he's not cherishing her. He just is treating her like, I need this from her. Or she's not thinking about herself as belonging to him. And as, no, my goal is to please him. And I want him to desire me, but I want to inflame his desire for me. And I want him to delight in me. And I want him to see me as an open invitation and his woman, like his wife.
Yeah, I like that thought, open invitation. Think of yourself as that way. Because it changes everything about your demeanor, about how you take care of yourself, about how, if you notice him even. Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah, open invitation. And him, like, a husband is like a priest. He's guarding and keeping.
Well, and I'm thinking too about like with thinking of open invitations with hospitality, you're preparing differently.
Yeah.
Than if it's like, nope, one time, one person, that's it.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like you're always on the ready if it's a standing invite sort of a thing, you know?
Yes.
You have a standing invite, Brian.
Thanks, babe. Like there's a knock at the door and you're, it's not, it's, you've had the soup on.
Yeah.
The soup's been on the burner.
Yes.
Ready for guests. Ready for the guest. I'm not going to say guests. Ready for the guest. Like your husband is the guest and you are the innkeeper and you want to be ready. Not just
yeah.
Like, oh.
The Song of Solomon girl couldn't even get out of bed, right? Because the was door pouty. Was locked.
She was pouty.
That's not an open invitation.
It's not an open invitation. No. That's part of being winnable.
Yes.
Is thinking about him ahead of time, being ready. Like literally, I think sometimes we get in these patterns of response that are like defense mode, where for the wife, it can be, you know, she can sense his advances or that he's interested in her. And her knee-jerk response, and she might not even know why. It might not even be a conscious thing, is like, hang on. I think sometimes maybe it's I'm busy. I have so much work to get done. There's laundry. There's whatever.
I think some of it is that women know how long it can take sometimes. Either just like the work literally in the home to get to the point of the marriage bed. Or just like you were talking about physiologically, men and women are different. And so I think she, if a husband's not telling her, like you've already said, it's okay that it takes time. I will help you with this. Then I think she just starts to feel bad and ashamed of it all. Yeah. And just is like, well, let's not even go there because that's just awkward. And I feel ashamed yeah. about it because I'm probably not meeting your, I don't know, maybe this is where culture starts to play into it too. I don't know. But I think that's part of why. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you're right. Because I think about it like that. People sometimes think about sex as if both parties have to do the same thing. Where like,
yeah.
But that's not actually most of the time how it is. Most of the time, for sex to be glorious and pleasurable for everybody, for a husband and his wife, he has to focus on pleasing her and she has to focus on being pleased. She has to get into a headspace where she's open and saying, I want my husband to please me. I yeah. want him to succeed and win and be like, and win me. And whereas he really has to focus on not himself and his own pleasure, he has to focus on his wife and please her. It's all the way from top to bottom. There's a hierarchy and there's differentness and there's complementarity that's at work here. So when you come to the marriage bed, it's not just like each person needs to focus on exactly the same thing.
Yeah. And I just think there can be a lot of baggage. If you're not talking about this, especially early on in marriage, you could literally go years assuming things about one another.
Yeah.
So, which are just not true. And talking about that stuff can just easily clear things.
Yeah, absolutely. Like sometimes I think a wife can, especially early in marriage, this can happen with, because the thing is, the thing about sex is it's a skill. It's not something that you're like Hollywood tries to paint sex as if it's this thing where like two random strangers meet and all of a sudden it's just like sparks fly, or even just like, you know, you lose your virginity and it's like the mind blowing experience. Sex is it's a skill. You get better at it together. You grow together. But I think one of the things that sometimes a wife can start to think or believe is like the goal is basically to get through it as quickly as possible. And she's therefore not focusing on being pleased by her husband. So she's not really being won fully by him because he wants to please her. He wants to have, like men want to conquer and win and succeed. I'm trying to say this in the most PG way possible, but I think our listeners understand what I'm talking about
here.
Do they? I think they do, babe. I hope they do because I'm not going to get more clear than this. She has to focus on that. And if she's just like, let's, you know, as quickly as possible. Let's get this over with. All of a sudden, she's going to learn and just basically associate sex with, it's a chore. You get it done. You move on with your life. He wants it. I'm kind of like ambivalent towards it. Our sponsor, Private Family Banking Partners, is on a mission to help Christians live out the Dominion mandate by making a stealth-like move away from the mainstream banks and into their own privatized banking system. This innovative system is designed to guarantee uninterrupted compound interest and tax-free growth without exposure to typical stock market risks. To join this growing community that is already building wealth into future generations and converting post-mill talk into post-mill action, contact Private Family Banking Partner Chuck DeLaterante at his email, chuck@privatefamilybanking.com. That's chuck@privatefamilybanking.com.
To set up an appointment and to receive a free copy of Chuck's new book, Protect Your Money Now, How to Build Multi-Generational Wealth Outside of Wall Street and Avoid the Coming Banking Meltdown, go to the links in the show notes below.
Did you know that fresh American black elderberries are naturally high in phosphorus, vitamin A, vitamin B6, and vitamin C, as well as many anthocyanins that serve as antioxidants? Regular supplementation with elderberry extracts has been shown to decrease chance of influenza and lessen cold duration and symptoms.
The Kings Ridge fresh frozen elderberries are hand-picked, destemmed, washed, and quickly frozen at their family farm in East Central Indiana. Their whole operation is designed around maximizing freshness and antioxidant content of their berries. Trevor and Autumn truly hope that their elderberry syrup and fresh frozen elderberries bless your family this cold and flu season.
Don't buy dried European elderberries and support the global economic agenda. Visit tkrfarm.com and purchase your elderberry needs from the Kings Ridge Elderberries. And that link is in the description for you.
Yeah, I've also counseled women that have, like, who were, like, saved after sleeping around, basically.
Yeah, sure.
So then when they get married and they're Christian, they've had issues with that because they want to, like, disassociate the pleasure out of it, and they only look at it in terms of children, making children. So I've had to counsel some women to be like, but God biblically gives a command, like, yes, fornication is 100% wrong. There is baggage that comes with that, and we're obviously dealing with that, but there is a category for pleasure in scripture.
Yeah, the command is to rejoice. The husband is to rejoice in her.
It's not purely pragmatic, I guess.
No, he is to rejoice in her physical body and beauty and her sexuality. He's supposed to be intoxicated in her sexual love. Absolutely. Like that. And that can't happen without mutual self-giving. It can't happen without the wife focusing on being won by her husband and enjoying him and delighting in him and being pleased by him. And it can't happen for him unless he's pursuing her pleasure and her actual enjoyment and her heart and all these things together, but mind, soul, body, all these things like have to be wrapped up together, that you can't separate them out into little constituent parts and have the thing work. So I think honestly, there's another aspect of this that is related to that skill aspect, which is just simply like, okay, for husband, are you pleasing your wife sexually? Are you actually taking the time to make sure that you, with skill and diligence, pursue her pleasure? Do you love, like, do you actually delight in winning her fully and not just, like, don't treat her as a, you know, like a, just a place for sexual release? You actually have to pursue her. And I don't think most husbands who are asking this question aren't doing that or wanting to do that. I don't mean
It doesn't sound, it almost sounds more like he's trying that and it's.
Yeah, there's a closed still, door.
Yeah.
And so a lot of this is like, when there's a closed door, you've got to just start with the conversation. You got to knock, 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 knock. Hey, this door's closed. I can tell it's closed because here is my hand meeting it and making this knocking sound and it's not opening. And so he has to have that conversation and then probably follow-up conversations and remind it. But in all of it, like with anything, just like if your wife is desiring some, you know, thing to change or some you to adapt some thing that you're doing, like, be patient. you can't expect to have one conversation and for a person just to rewire like overnight. That's generally not how this works. You have to have a regular freestanding conversations.
Yeah. And women are so weird because like hormonally we're very different too. So something that could have worked really well for your wife last week just doesn't work this week.
Yeah.
And that's just the way that God made us. And I think part of it is so we don't, love has to continue to be constructive and creative with the way it's expressing itself then.
Yeah.
It can't fall into these ditches or ruts because it's like, well, there is like the stereotypical hormonal, I don't understand you woman is there for a reason.
Yeah. God gave you that. He gave you a woman and you are on like a daily cycle as a man.
Yeah.
And she's on a monthly cycle as a woman and it changes her whole vibe. Like, I don't know how else to put it, but one of the things that means is that again, when I said knowing your wife, like understanding what makes her tick and understanding how your wife's sexuality works, that means that you need to lean into the fact that God made this whole cycle on a rhythm to where she is naturally going to be more interested. And then it will be more, I'm not saying she should be uninterested and be like, oh, I'm in this part of my sex, but there's a natural rhythm to it.
Yeah.
And so like learn the dance, learn the steps, when to give, when to, you know, when you're swinging her around, like full bore in the dance and when you're, you know, taking a lighter touch and I don't dance, so I can't actually give you real dancing lingo here. Maybe you could help me, babe. What would be the dancing illustration I'm trying to make here?
Do I look like I dance?
I guess if I don't dance, I don't know how I expect
I was gonna
you
say
to know how to dance. Like unless you're out dancing when I don't know it or something, which would we probably shouldn't be doing a podcast on how to like do marriage if that was the case. So yeah. But I think that's a really good point that husbands can forget because we tend to do this thing where we figure out like, this is what works in anything we do. Cause we're like optimizing.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you turn it into a formula where you're like, if I do this, then this, then this, then this, then this. The last week, the result was fireworks. It was glory, like beginning and end. And now I'm like knocking on the door and she's like, it's not the same. She's just not there. What's happening? Well, she might actually be in a different part of her monthly cycle.
Yeah. Maybe this is a lack of education too. And just like we handed over stewarding our fertility to the white coat gods of the OBGYN clinics. And so now husbands have zero knowledge in addition to wives.
Yeah.
So it's just like, cause I do feel like you've gotten better at understanding this, the more diligently we've had to family plan, I guess you could say.
Yeah. And part of it's just, you know more at year one than you did at day one. You know more at year five than you did at year one.
Yeah. Like that's true. Just more practice with it then, I guess.
You grow.
I was going to say, because you have always actively taken a lead in natural family planning, which is a different topic, but.
Yeah. Well, so let me ask you then, how should a wife, knowing this about herself, okay, I'm on a monthly clock where I am going to be different. Let's use the technical term, the vibe.
Okay, the vibe.
I'm going to have a different vibe, even towards how I'm going to be just naturally left to my own devices, how I will relate to my husband. What should a wife be thinking about in that cycle, and how should she be adapting or maybe even proactively working on that? Okay, I want to delight. I want my husband to delight in me. I want to be his satisfaction, all of that. How can she be thinking?
She should be sleeping and resting more if she knows she's at a part of her cycle where, I guess it would be different for different women, but there are certain weeks of my cycle that I just don't sleep no matter what I try at night. I have a really hard time sleeping. So I have to be aware that like, if I want to be able to be a cheerful wife at night past 5 p.m., not even just like at night, like sex, but just in the evening be available, I need to probably rest more and like put some things in the house on the back burner. And I'm sure your husband, if you're like this, your husband isn't going to care if the apples didn't get canned that week. You know what I mean? Like,
can he's I not just speak for the husbands really quick. we don't care at all about whether the apples get canned if the result is that she's going to be frisky later at night.
Yes.
The apples, we can never have an apple canned again in our entire lives and we'll be fine.
So we, and I think we've said this other places, but we've always been really pro bedtime for this reason. I'm not a night owl. No matter what I try, I thought I was going to get into deep cleaning after 8:30 a few weeks ago, and it lasted for one night.
You thought that?
I just thought our kids are getting older. Maybe the Lord is doing a new work in me.
It would have been a truly new work.
I've been this way my entire life. It's not just because I have kids. And so we've always just had to be really careful with our evenings. Like, there's no other way around it. So having good, like you as a wife, having good rhythms during the day so that you can have good rhythms at night. Because if you don't have good rhythms during the day, you're just going to be playing catch up at night.
Yeah.
There's no way around it. Also, if you want to be able to rest, that means there has to be some sort of structure to your day. Even if it means you throw the structure out the window today because you know you can implement it tomorrow.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying, because I am not, there are some days that I literally, I just know like this isn't going to be a good week, but it's okay. I have the structure in place that we'll pick it up next week and it'll be just fine. So I think that's really big. And I think it's important to be able to be cheerful no matter what season of life you were in with your body, because like postpartum is different from, you know, you haven't had a baby in 10 years from I am like in first trimester and I'm sick as a dog. So you have to be patient and content with where you are, while at the same time being okay with the fact that part of the work of being a human is that you need to take care of your body.
Yeah.
So that can be like a weird balancing act there, but I am like super pro women learning to work out, and like you probably need to be self-controlled with your diet, and we're like super big walkers. My mom has always, I feel like my mom has done a really good job of aging beautifully, but not becoming obsessed with youthfulness, if that makes sense.
Yeah, not vanity.
Yes, not vanity. There you go.
But definite care.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I was asked, I had a friend from church ask me recently, like, what does your mom do to work out and stay in shape? And I was like, I don't really know. I should ask her. So I asked her, and she's walked my entire life. Like, she's always made me walk with her. That's always what my mom has done. And she's like, oh, I'm still just walking. Like, what? But yeah. She is like actively walking on a regular basis. So I'm just saying that because if maybe you don't know how, maybe you don't have the space, maybe you don't have the equipment, but you can go for a walk every day.
Yeah.
You really can. And so that's again where I think part of this is like the character of being somebody who has good habits because you want to serve others. It really isn't about me that I am trying to learn to lift weights and that we go for a walk every night. Like I would rather be laying under my red light reading a book.
Yeah.
But I know that and I've been talking to the kids about this too, like I want to be around to be able to help them with their kids. So that's why I'm doing it now, is because I want to be the kind of person then, like even something as silly as the first time we went to the river, I don't know if I told you this, but the first time we went to the river this summer was later than usual because it had been swollen is all that I can think of.
Yeah. Like swollen with water.
Yes. But what was it called? What happened this spring here? We had,
like a flood.
Yes. We had crazy amounts of water and it was flooded and they shut down the river. Anyways, I was actually really nervous to walk across the first time because of how strong the current was. And I was worried that I was going to fall. And I had this thought in my head, like, Lexi, this is how people get old. You have to go across. So I made myself go across.
Yeah.
So just like really, and I do think part of like continuing to be adventurous with your husband, that same character has to reflect in other areas of your life.
Yeah.
Right. Wouldn't you say that?
Yeah, absolutely. It all comes together where your like sexual health is going to come from holistic relational health and physical health.
Yeah.
If you start really neglecting some aspect of it, like if you're morbidly obese or if you're really out of shape in your relationship where you're not forgiving sin and any of those aspects where you get really out of joint, you can't expect for the marriage bed to sing. Like it's not going to, not going
to
do it.
And like I already said, there are seasons where you just have to be content with where you are, but know that you can work towards something different. And that's good and okay too. And God uses that at the same time. That's why it's a covenant, because it's not just based on like one season of life where you're really into it or something.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not based on like, so circling back to the, for her, this monthly rhythm, like, okay, it's not just going to be exactly when I am the most feeling it that I'm going to go for it. Just like with the walking or any other disciplines, like I'm going to cultivate a life where I am loving my neighbor as myself. Therefore I'm thinking about my husband. What would bless him? And maybe, ladies, that's like setting a reminder 3 times a week to sit, just a question to yourself, how can I please my husband sexually today? Like, what would bless him today? What would he be like ecstatic about if I texted him, or if I initiated, or if I was responsive to? And it's like, that's a small thing really in the scheme of it. It doesn't take a lot of time. It's just, you're probably not naturally going to think about it.
No.
Just all by yourself, or at least not that often. So get ahead of it and think, love my neighbor as myself. I want him to think about me that way. In like, I want him to think when he's at work, oh, I'm gonna call during lunch and see how my wife's doing.
It's like
we want to take interest in one another.
Sexual habits, I guess. Then.
And then when there is the like, absolutely live within the ebb and the flow. Like when it's prime time, when it's like, you know, I'm gonna use the word frisky. When you're feeling frisky, lean into it. Tell him. He'll be delighted. And then you learn how to live with these rhythms together, where there's self-control on his side, where it's like, okay, my wife she's very tired, or she's, like you said, pregnancy or postpartum. Like, you love your wife, you take care of her, you don't be selfish. Love your neighbor as yourself.
I think that's fundamentally what you have to realize, is like, you belong to somebody else.
Yeah. Both of you.
Yes, you are. I think it was C.R. Wiley that was talking about this exact issue, where he was saying, like, I don't want to say that on air. Never mind. I've said it before on air, but I don't want to.
Okay, you can tell me afterward. And then people can ask me via tweet messages, and I still won't answer.
I think it was either C.R. Wiley or Toby, but I'm pretty sure it was C.R. Wiley.
Wow, we're like really laying the mystery on.
Well,
here.
No, he just said, in marriage, you're no longer a consenting individual, is what he said.
Oh, and in the context of what we're saying, people get it. Yes. We're not saying like force yourself on anybody. That's ridiculous.
No.
Obviously, Christians aren't into that. That's silly. Yeah, everybody always asks, as soon as you start talking about this, like you're not your own, like your body belongs to your husband, your husband's body belongs to you. Everyone's like, oh, marital rape. And you're like, what are you talking about? We're talking about Christian marriage. We're talking about loving one another and giving yourself to the other. This is the shape of a gospel relationship anyway. It's intensified and magnified in this parable of the gospel that is marriage. But we're talking about mutuality here.
And some of this too is like the biblical idea that your life is found in giving your life away to somebody else.
Yeah.
So there might be some women out there that genuinely have a hormonal issue, not interested for whatever reason, that it takes years for them. It could be like, I don't know, maybe you just aren't naturally interested in sex. You never were. So, but you're so faithful to your husband. You're still hospitable. Mm-hmm. You still go to the marriage bed frequently. You're so kind. You communicate with him about it, and he's very understanding. You might not like reap the benefit of that life until the end, when you're like, oh my gosh, my husband has been faithful to me for 50 years because I was willing to be his one and only soul satisfaction. And it might, like, the fruit might look different from what you're expecting, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. So don't make the fruit just about the pleasure, I guess.
Yeah, that's right.
There are other benefits from the marriage bed. Children is another one.
Yeah.
There's a lot, like comfort. There's a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. Just knowing that your husband is pleased in you.
Yes.
And he knowing that she's pleased in me, like that. That's what we want.
Yeah, and
like,
I do think that
really,
is. Yeah, yeah.
Like at the end of the day, sexual pleasure is great, but the intimacy of the marriage bed is so much more than that.
Yeah.
It is about, I am my beloved's.
Yes.
And they are mine. Like, that's it. Mm-hmm. It's this, they love me. I love that. Like, it's, that's what it is at the heart of it. It's so much more than just nerve endings And what our culture does is constantly boil it down to nerve endings and commodifies it and turns it into something that is just about the seeking of your own pleasure. And ultimately, the paradox there is that you won't actually find, you won't be pleased.
No.
At the end, if you make it that. It's not pleasing.
Yeah.
You'll be pleased if you love somebody else truly. And if you love them truly, you will give yourself to them and you will be unreserved in your love for them. But the pleasing, the pleasure, the true pleasure comes deep, more deeply than nerve endings. And it's,
yeah,
it's Christian love and marriage.
Yeah. I also did want to say, like, the times of your month, because you asked about, you know, your month, yeah, what all that. So the times of your month where you're just not feeling into it, I think those are the important times to go put on a dress.
Yeah.
To just still like present yourself and understand that, like, I don't, it's not about how I'm feeling. I do still belong to my husband. And so,
yeah,
I don't want to be a frumpy horse. I don't know.
You know, the way that a frumpy horse is really good.
Frumpy horse.
But the illustration that came to my mind,
what,
was that you don't want to be, have you ever like known of a local business? It's usually little local businesses that you really liked, but you can't figure out their hours. They keep changing it. Like the guy will just leave for like 3 hours on a Tuesday.
Oh yes, I do.
And so like, you never know if the open sign is going to be up in the window or not.
People are weird about that in Utah too, because of the Mormon family day. It's very strange.
Yeah. So you don't want to be a wife like that, where it's like, you're not.
That's what I mean. Like, you just have to figure out what sort of things you need to remain constant.
Put up the open sign.
Yeah.
Put up the open sign.
I'm not saying you have to wear a dress every day.
No, but your husband might like it.
But your husband might like it.
Yes.
And you'll probably feel better about yourself. Like, yes, you are a human. Brush your hair. Hey, ladies, did you know you can use shampoo every day if you want? You don't have to listen to those Instagram people that say only once every 2 to 5 days. You can wash your hair every day if it'll make you feel sexier. Mm-hmm. Please do it.
Yeah, your husband will be pleased.
He'll be pleased.
Yes. All right, guys. Well, we've probably said enough on this, and
too much, maybe.
Oh yeah, maybe too much. I don't know. Hope it's been helpful.
Oh, man.
Thanks for sending in your questions. Keep them coming, and we'd encourage you guys just to continue to pursue giving yourself away for the sake of your spouse, and in faith in Christ, and you won't be disappointed, because the seed that falls to the ground and dies is the one that bears fruit 100-fold. So, Lord bless you guys. We'll catch you in the next episode of Bright Hearth.